The non-profit organization KDE, EV. He gives us a talk about K desktop environment version 4. Yeah. Okay.
So hello everybody. First let me say I love this conference. I loved it last year and I'm even more addicted now. My favorite one is the bouncy castle outside. And for later the beer. So let's talk about your new desktop. First, that's me. I'm, as he said, I'm on the board of directors of the KDE EV, and I'm generally known as the marketing dude within KDE. I've been developing software for KDE since 2004 and for various other projects before that. In my other part of my working life, I'm doing research into software quality, and I'm promoting free software in schools. And there will be a talk on Codeyard tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So make sure you are there if you're interested in educational stuff. So where's KDE at right now? First, we weren't quite sure if this is the right way to go. What we did is we revamped basically everything. So it took us quite some time to pull everything apart and put the pieces together again. And in the beginning, we were quite afraid that this would cause the community to shrink quite a bit because we would not have a feature release for quite some time. In fact, it didn't. The KDE community right now is more healthy than ever. And that shows not only in the age, of course, but in the number of SVN accounts, that's developers that are actively contributing to KDE. I've just 5 minutes ago updated this figure and it went up from 1,634 to 1,653, and there was just 1 week between that. So we're probably gaining more than one extra developer a day, which is, I think, a good sign of health for a community. We're at roughly 2,800 commits weekly. In total, 5 million lines of code. That's very abstract, but for example, the OpenOffice project has, I think, between 5 and 6 million lines of code. And so we don't have all that much code. In fact, one of our goals is to make it possible for developers to write applications with zero lines of code. Might be a bit hard to reach, but we're approaching that. 65 languages and a guesstimate of 15 to 25 million users, and that's an interpolation of figures from various sources we're trying to find. It's not only polls on websites, but it's also just walking around at this kind of conferences and looking at who's running KDE, how many of those people are actually running KDE, and well, the result of all this gathering of figures is that we are at a rough 60 to 70% of all free software desktops, and that's great. This is the bit I wanted to get rid of first, and this is what's officially on one of our websites that's called techbase.kde.org. All information for system integrators and people generally interested in technological issues should go to techbase.kde.org and check it out. The schedule might change. Of course, we are a free software project. We are right now not doing time-based releases, but we're doing feature-based releases. Obviously, we cannot release KDE4 before some of the applications just work. So. And another thing which is often quite unclear, all those dates are tagging dates. That's when we push the button on SVN, this will become a release. This is then tested and packaged, and roughly 1 week to 10 days later, it's turned into a real release. So don't start throwing stones or start bitching on October 24th, because then it's not released. It's only tagged. Okay, next. So what's KDE4 about? We try to focus on three different areas, which we think cover the whole experience of using a desktop pretty much. First, beauty, it's gotta look gorgeous. portability. It's got to run everywhere and function. It should do the job. Oxygen. I'm a big fan of a couple of our graphics artists. And that's the Oxygen team. First, they're crazy, so I can deal with them pretty well. And they're making it beautiful. Highlights of Oxygen are vector graphics, so we're trying to get rid of jagged edges. They are really checking out the desktop in a holistic view. They are trying to make everything look consistent and beautiful. And I think that's one of the areas where KDE had problems in the past, that it looked a bit, you know, icons weren't all in the same style, weren't complete. People copied icons from place one to place two only because they didn't have the SVG sources for that. So we're trying to fix all that. But we're also putting Oxygen on our websites. You might have seen that roughly a year ago, we changed from pretty old-fashioned look to new website templates. Actually, the template for this presentation is done by the Oxygen team as well. And it's not only that, it's also mouse cursors and an audio theme. And you know, why should we do that? Because I like to use beautiful things. I'm staring at this thing for a couple of hours every day, and it better be beautiful. But beauty is also about fun of use. That's where it all boils down to. So we have usability in mind when we are working on our applications. It's always been an issue that a lot of people say, well, KDE really got feature readers. They try to put in everything and then it doesn't look consistent and the user interfaces are becoming far too complex. And I think that is actually a social problem because it's a scalability problem as well. Lots of people means that we need communication on how to solve common problems. So there's the HIG, which means human interface guidelines, and that's a fairly extensive list of things and how to do things. For example, how to put things in a menu, in which order should you supply certain options, which options should be there, which shouldn't be there, how to name things, and all that kind of stuff. So you probably won't notice it at once, but if you compare various applications, they are becoming more consistent, and it's easier to spot the setting you are looking for if it's named the same everywhere. The whole usability thing is driven by the research by a working group. That's the HCI, human-computer interaction. I always get this one wrong, so don't beat me, please. There's a group of people specialized in human-computer interaction, and they are taking care of just that. Those are people I can ask if I'm, as a developer, not sure how to implement a certain feature or how to solve a certain problem and whether or not to provide a checkbox for something. Again, the effect is not visible quite directly, but it becomes less annoying to use your computer. And like I said, I don't want to be annoyed for the whole day. So we're trying to solve that scalability problem of making applications usable, and at the same time, we try to not cut down on features that people might love. I mean, I'm using this desktop because it's very, very powerful. I don't want to now have people going with an X through my favorite application. A very good example for that is console. And if the whole thing actually works right now, I can do a demo of that later and maybe show console in the KDE4 and the KDE3 version. And then you will see that it's quite a difference. So Dolphin is one of the applications that really got one of those facelifts. We saw that Conqueror, our previous file manager and web browser, had quite some usability issues because it did everything. Dolphin is very focused on the task of file management, which is probably, for most of us, quite different from web browsing. So with Dolphin, we're optimizing an application for one single task. I think that's very Unix-y. And I'm using the KD3 version for quite some time, and it's not horrible to not have, you know, giant checklists and 10,000 buttons on my interface. And that thing actually works quite well, and it's very nice in KD4. So it's optimized for file system usage, and it's got some pretty nice features. We got on the right-hand side those stars, and I've put a note to that file. That is, files can be tagged. I can put meta information to files, which makes it easier to find back my files or remember what was that all about. I'll talk about that a bit later, maybe show some of those new things. Portability. Portability is two things. It's making sure our software runs on other systems, but also making sure other software runs on our system. I do have some examples, so that's quite abstract. Portability is really tech stuff, but I guess this is the right audience for that. So we moved over to Dbus. Dbus is a free desktop standard. We're sharing that with other desktops. So using Dbus, it's easier for applications to talk to each other. Basically, if I want to know something about the system, I can just ask on the Dbus bus, and I get my information. And I don't have to care whether I'm running KDE or XFCE or whatever. It will be, well, a standard. And we have a MIME-type database. Most people probably aren't aware of that, but that wasn't there in the past. So what a lot of application developers did is they made up their own MIME types, which leads to a mess, obviously. Same with icon naming. If I'm developing an application and I want it to blend in well with the other software, like I'm writing a text editor, hey, I can do that, then I don't want to be a really strange save as icon only because I've written it in Qt and I want to run it in a GTK environment. So what we did is we gave those icon standard names. So now I can call from my application the save icon, and I will be sure it will be a Tango-styled icon when I'm running a GTK environment, and it will be an Oxygen icon when I'm running KDE. Same with search metadata. It should be equally accessible for whatever I'm trying to use it with. Then there's presence. Am I online or not? This kind of things. Notifications, obviously the system says I've got problems, my battery's running out, and I'm overheating at the same time. And jobs, if I'm downloading a huge file, I will be able to, for example, I'm downloading a large file with Mozilla, and then I want to be able to know the progress of that from KDE to be able to, you know, show it in a certain widget, or maybe just not suspend my machine while I'm downloading. So there's a lot about to say of standardization. And what we're trying to do is making KDE friendly to other applications. We're not on an island. I totally like this picture, although it's partly very, very wrong. It's still a good picture to show what we're actually planning. So yes, KDE4 applications will be able to run on Windows and macOS. I've already seen that. The workspace, however, so the whole desktop environment, probably won't. Well, someone can port it, but we are currently not making any effort to run a KDE desktop on OS X or Windows because they already have one, and because, well, use a free operating system if you want a free desktop. So that should be really easy. Our libraries currently already work on all those platforms. We're on Solaris, we're sorting out a couple of dependencies. Then we have backends. I will come back to this topic of backends a bit later. Of course, applications which depend on libraries, partly on backends, and the workspace that is basically the desktop as you know it. So yeah, that's quite some construction plans and certain things just won't be implemented. But this is very roughly how it looks like. Okay, function. Most exciting parts. A lot of you people probably has heard about the so-called pillars of KDE. And that's a concept we introduced to make it easier to understand what we're actually doing with the desktop. Solid. Hardware support and hardware integration has always been a pain in the rear on the free desktop. And I just couldn't understand why things work in certain applications and they don't work in other applications. So one of our guys, Kevin, stood up, I'm going to do Solid. And Solid is going to put that all together. Solid provides a unified API to basically everything I want to do with my hardware. It makes it easy to check out state of battery or get list of Bluetooth devices or check if I'm online or change networks, and that all via one interface. So as an application developer, I don't have to care anymore whether I'm running on Solaris, BSD, Linux, Windows, or macOS. I just use one API, and the underlying system will sort it out itself. And that's where the backends come into picture. So we, for example, for Solid, we have a HAL Dbus backend, which uses the free desktop hardware abstraction layer to get certain information and do certain things with the hardware. It is, however, possible to just use a different backend. Imagine I'm on Windows, and there's obviously no HAL available on Windows, then I can just write a Windows backend and use that, and I don't have to change or even recompile the applications. They will just be able to use that. Obviously, it's future-proof and it's portable. Future-proof in the sense that imagine the interface of HAL changes at once, then all of the applications would need to be changed as well. And that's not possible if you want to provide some sort of binary compatibility throughout the whole release cycle. So we need a stable API to do that. Additions are possible in certain ways, but certainly not renaming an important function. And we just do not have enough control over that to make sure that this will actually be the case. This is how you don't see Solid usually, but you are able to see this. So what do we have here? We have different cases where we can use different backends. And for power management, like checking out battery state or suspending the machine, I'm using the HAL power management backend. Network management is done through Network Manager. And Bluetooth management is via the BlueZ stack. Obviously, this is a Linux system. So this might look different on other operating systems. I totally love this one. It's different languages. And you don't have to switch the language. You don't have to tell the computer, this is written in Farsi. This is written in German. And this is actually what Sonnet is about. Sonic replaces the spell checking engine in KDE 3, and this is actually my favorite feature. I'm communicating in different languages, and I don't want to switch every email. So this knows in which language I'm writing it. There's a short question. I'm not quite sure, but In general, we try to keep this stuff as free as possible of unnecessary dependencies. So huge chance that Sonnet does not depend on KDE libs or maybe even Qt. I'm not sure, however, but source code is in our Subversion repository. So I guess this will be available for other systems as well. Threadweaver. The last machine that has one single core in my home is my wireless router. My notebook has two cores, my workstation has two cores, and the applications don't use it unless I'm running various jobs at the same time. Threadweaver makes your applications look fast. Not necessarily faster, but you can use threading quite easily. Threadweaver is a very high level job-based API to distribute computing over multiple cores. It has some sort of dependency tracking, and it's a really easy to use API. Yeah, like I said, why faster and everything's going to be multi-core. 3G. Yeah, we do have search. Even more than that, so 3G is what you would expect from a search engine. It doesn't take too much memory. It's pretty fast. And 3G also is free of KDE and Qt dependencies, so you could easily use that on other desktops as well. A couple of years ago, someone really smart with a cowboy hat, those two go together, yes, said that it's easier to find something on the internet than on his own computer. It's crazy, but it is. So we need some things which finds my data. More exciting, on top of 3G, there is Nepomuk, and that's developed as a research project sponsored by the European Union. So you all pay for that. Thank you. And that's the semantic desktop. Abstract and vague. I don't still completely understand what this is about, but my favorite use case is always that in the future I will know that a certain file has been sent by email to me and who sent me this file, and I can get a list of all the things this girl has told me on IRC or sent me by email or whatever. We can make the mail client tell Nepomuk, this has been sent by email from this person, so we can build some sort of social diagram. For me, it's much easier to find a file based on, hey, this was sent to me by Danimo, rather than when was it sent and in which directory did I save it. So that's quite cool stuff. And if you actually understand it, then please tell me. Plasma, that's the Bling thing. It's currently very much under construction, and it's growing at a tremendous pace, and the code looks quite beautiful. I've become a Plasma developer as well, so I know that it's very good. Plasma replaces the wallpaper, the panel, basically the whole desktop workspace, and it replaces it with a container where we can store some sort of widgets on. Those are called plasmoids, and for those we have data engines. Let me tell you why. In KDE 3 we saw with SuperCaramba lots of cool system information things which all did the same thing. They chew up a lot of your processing power. We don't want that. So now we have a data engine which provides data with an event-based system. So, and I can put a plasmoid using that data engine. The data engine said, I've updated the battery percentage has changed, so please update the display. So I don't need to check every 3 seconds if something has changed, just get a signal and then can update the display. So we can keep a battery applet doing what it should do, showing the battery time and not reducing the lifetime of your battery to a couple of minutes. Profiling tools for this are right now available from Intel, so we can check how much battery your stuff actually eats. And Plasma is a pretty cool step towards that direction to not, you know, make the desktop use more resources than it should. So we have some graphical effects, a bit of completely thought through concept behind it. We're good at designing interfaces, I think I can say that. And replacing the thing that is Kicker was a very good idea. Likewise with Arts, our sound demon. I think people really, really partied when that went away. This is how some things of Plasma look like. This is all themeable, so this screenshot is moot. I just wanted to show you, we still have this dialog that you see when you press Alt F2, so you can easily run applications. There's a plugin-based system behind that can also use the file system index to find files. Pretty nice, and this nice clock is one of the first, it's actually the first applet. We got an interface for Super Caramba, the previous applet system. So we're able to use the widgets written for Super Caramba on Plasma. So we don't have to start from zero with those applets. And even you see that on the right, we are able to do transformations on those things as well. Think of this as a nice animation, but we can also do alpha blending and all that kind of stuff. Fonon, I just named Arts and that we didn't like it, so it went away. Somebody stepped up, said, okay, we need a really easy to use multimedia API. That means application developers should be able to use multimedia content by only writing, you know, like 5 lines of code. It's a good step towards that 0 lines of code goal. We won't make that within the 4 life cycle, but Fonon is quite nice. It also has pluggable backends. I already explained that when I talked about Solid. So pluggable backends, we can use the Xine engine, we can use a GStreamer backend, we don't have to care about API instabilities. I can even change the backend on the fly. I don't need to restart the whole desktop. I just say, okay, now please use the Xine engine because GStreamer doesn't have this certain codec installed. And then Fonon will just use that. Very nice is, that's for voice IP and real-time communication, cross integration of scripting in all our applications. Then we have Akonadi, a PIM storage, so all our emails can be stored in the same place. It's an engine that should be stable. I hate losing emails, it should be very fast. And Akonadi is also not Qt nor KDE dependent, so it could be used in other applications as well. You can write your own email client without those storage details. KOffice 2, vast improvements there. Lots of cool new games. KDE Edu is going really, really wild. And of course, we have KWin compositing, so yes, there are wobbly windows. Not on my machine anyway, because I'm running a proprietary ATI driver, which we all love. So one thing to say, we did pretty good with all the things we dreamed up and implemented, but KDE 4.0 is just 4.0. It's not like every developer is going on vacation after that. We have a lot of those new backends, and we will only be able to leverage all of that within the whole life cycle. So basically now the tools are ready and we can start building. We have lots of work to do. Okay, we'll do that later.
So this is what it currently looks like. I've started it in a nested X server. Therefore, and thanks to my choice of video drivers, I don't have compositing available. So the compositing features of KWin are actually switched out. You see that this way it's still usable on normal machines without fancy graphics cards. So what do we have here? First console, then there's this applet. We have another applet. I can move them around on the desktop, of course. And then we have a very, very basic panel. This panel is only a proof of concept, and it's not what it will look like in the end. So Plasma basically is there. And there's a lot of new applets. This is actually quite cool. Those look like the same clocks. The nice thing is that they are only using the same data source and the same artwork. The clock with a frame around it is actually written in JavaScript or Ruby, one of those. But it's possible to write those plasmoids in different languages. So right now we have, I think, at least JavaScript and Ruby. Python will be there. And well, that's already quite some possibilities for getting people involved. Why are we doing that? With the data engines, we're providing infrastructure. And with those plasmoids, we're making it possible for people that are not proficient in C++ to extend the desktop. Actually, all of those things are plasmoids. Plasmoids is le mot du jour. So we have the panel, which is a container, and it has a clock plasmoid. And it has a taskbar plasmoid, which is basically only there to switch windows. A very nice thing about that is, in the future, if I move, for example, this battery into the panel, it will just change its appearance. It will be still the same plasmoid, but it will live in the panel, and therefore it has certain constraints on the size it can be shown in. And so it might behave in a different way if it's actually placed in a panel than if it's placed on a desktop. So here's what happens if I place it, for example, in an horizontal panel. It becomes small, so it fits. So I can actually control within my code what this thing is supposed to look like in various environments. We do have horizontal and vertical panels right now. We do have the normal desktop, and we might want to, you know, do some fancy stuff with media center integration. For example, you want bigger buttons if you're using a remote control to control your computer. And we are also working towards integrating a complete media center solution into KDE, probably within the KDE 4.1 timeframe. Applications. As I said, I really like Dolphin. This is how it currently looks like. As I said, we have tagging. No, it will be saved in some sort of internal database, and it would be. There are certain use cases where it makes sense to store this in the file itself, but the concept of tagging is not that a file gets a tag without a context. The file always gets tagged within the context of the whole computer, so it actually doesn't make sense to email the metadata with a file. Furthermore, it wouldn't work for read-only files, and it very often does not make sense to send this metadata, and it's also got some privacy issues. So central storage. What I also can show is we have grouped views, and those are actually based on
on the taggings. I can easily assign another tag,
and it should update all at once. It's still a bit slow, this whole meta tagging integration. But now you see I've got various files with different tags. We have this neat breadcrumbs widget, so I can easily change the directories. Oh, this is a debug build, by the way. It's therefore it's fairly slow, so it's not at all optimized. So those breadcrumb widgets, if they work, make it possible to easily switch directories. You can already see some of the Oxygen artwork here, mainly icons, but also the widget style and the window decoration. I promised to have a look at console. You saw that this menu was really small. I can also put the menu bar on top. But generally, all those menus have been really cleaned up. There's no menu with 15 options anymore. So here, for example, we have previews, depending on which you roll over. If you want to have a look at console in KDE3, where is it? So this is how those menus looked like earlier. And I checked, there are no features that are missing right now. So console is really the proof of concept that it is easy to reduce user interfaces and to not dump them down. We don't want to make our applications stupid. We want to make them smart. Console. Another thing that I really, really like is Ocular. Ocular is what was previously KPDF, and it's a document viewer for all kinds of formats. For most documents that you want to view, you don't need a very special application. You need one application that does it very well and that can show a lot of file formats. So for viewing PDF or reading all kinds of strange documents, you can just use Ocular for that and be done. This is not too special, actually. We've seen PDFs rendered on Linux desktops before. But we have some very cool features, such as, I think this is the shortcut, yeah. I can scribble in documents, at least sometimes. I can add notes to documents. So I find this very handy when someone sends me a document and I want to go through it, and then I can just put the notes in there. And this does not only work for PDF. And the next question will probably be, where is that saved? I don't know. I've talked to the developers and I said they want to be able to put this kind of information into the documents, because that's usable, or there it makes sense to be able to send this reviewed version of the document to someone else. So, Ocular. And then there is I wanted to show something neat, now coming back to that. Imagine you're working, so you're of course listening to music, and then some voice IP call comes in. So you grab your Bluetooth headphone and put it on, and then you should be able to turn down the volume of the music independently from the volume of what you're listening to. And most probably you don't want the music on your headphone, but the voice IP call. This makes it possible. So if, in fact, I had a Bluetooth headphone and it was connected to this machine, it would turn up in the right section. So there would be the digital and analog audio device, but there would also be the Bluetooth headphone. But why? So what I can do with Phonon is, and that looks like a good default setting to me, is I set the music to my digital sound device, and I put communication on the, in this case, non-existent Bluetooth headphone. And that's for all applications. This is not just for one single application, but this is the backend that is being used for that. So, what else did I want to show? I don't know, what would you like to see? I'm very afraid of the answers right now.
Can you still place icons on the desktop?
Yeah. Well, I can do it like this, so. Actually, we try to discourage people to make an icon mess out of their desktops. What we try to do is use it for something useful. You can do that. I think it even works like this. So you get some sort of icon representation on your desktop. And it's still possible to just use your desktop as a file manager. Also, it's probably a waste of functionality. One thing I really like, that's still a KDE3 application, is YaQuake. That looks like this. Gamers among you know that you can, with one shortcut, put down a terminal. And the thing is that I use my terminal in a very different way than I use, for example, an image viewing application, which is usual applications. I switch between applications, but I use the shell to do small things in between. So now think of Plasma as this sort of application. When I want to look up a word, there's a command line application I can use and just type it in. Likewise, in KDE4, I can use, where is it? This dictionary applet. Now it's not implemented yet, but what we want to do is we want to be able to put the desktop in front of all the applications that are open, so that I can, you know, disrupt my work very quickly to look up a word and then switch back. So just elevate the Plasma workspace on top of it, and then put it back, very much like one would use the show desktop feature previously. Well, then it's limited to file management.
That's why it's in fact with Windows, because we are seeing more and more 16:9 ratio desktops.
Yeah.
And so it would be practical to have, let's say, on your right, a list of plasmoids.
Yeah.
And if I maximize a window, I don't want that window to cover all my widgets. Is that possible?
I don't know. I know it's on the radar. Next things that will be coming up in Plasma is integrating Plasma with the window manager. There are certain things where the window manager has to know about Plasma. One very good example for that is maximizing something. Now you see that, well, you probably don't see, but you might notice that not everything is visible, so the window is maximized behind the panel. Short answer is, very, very likely. Some more questions?
I would just like to know what is the flickering thing on the
upper left corner? You mean this one? Yeah. So this is very much work in progress. Lots of those things are proof of concept, and this sliding box will certainly go away. We already have, Plasma. Sorry, I cannot understand. Could you speak up? Yeah. Yeah. As I showed, one way to add plasmoids, very simple ones, to the desktop is just drag them out of the file manager on top of the desktop, and they will appear there. We also have this applet browser, and will also be web enabled, so you can directly download plasmoids, usually scripts, not compiled code, from the web, and put them on your desktop. So that's very much what we already had in KDE 3. That's the get hot new stuff thing. There was a question. I don't know. It's the honestly, it's the first time I see it. I do have problems with my caps lock, but not with the X key, luckily.
Main question, what about moving to
yeah, definitely. You will get your cube. Yeah. that's also a window manager thing. If I actually knew the shortcut for the window manager, then I could switch desktops. So yeah, absolutely. We don't want feature regressions for a new version. Any more questions? The answer obviously is partly. For some applications, it simply does not make sense. Some things are new. We try to keep your settings as good as possible. As to packaging, we are sorting out with the distros lists of conflicting files, so we can actually install KDE 4 and KDE 3 applications on the same machine. We're not, you know, we do not expect everything to be ready with 4.0, so every application to be ported or nearly as stable as what we have right now. So it will be possible to run KDE 3 applications with probably only minor problems like DBus is new, old applications don't speak DBus. We have to think about that. But yeah, generally, the goal is to make it possible to keep your settings, provide upgrade scripts for that. We did that in the past, and it's not that hard. And to make it easy that all your applications, even old applications, run on the desktop. Not sure. We don't think that we will lose really important functionality due to that, but it's a very hard thing to port all decop calls to DBus. So I don't know how this will look like, but Danimo might be able to tell us more about that.
One idea that we had is porting the essential decop interfaces, like say from KDesktop. Where you would go to and ask, okay, please disable the screensaver because I'm about to show a video in full screen mode or something like that. We're considering to build a bridging application for that. But as Sebas already pointed out, we're currently evaluating what interfaces and what calls on those interfaces are really interesting because it's, of course, a hassle to keep them updated and to keep them complete.
So, yeah, we've carefully validated that.
Yeah.
application.
Maybe we should cut off this discussion and move it to after the talk, so we can have some more questions. See?
I think that you coincidentally had Martin Wittemeyer's master's or doctoral thesis on your desktop. So I wonder if the KDE project will take the lesson out of this very interesting work with him and switch maybe after the release of KDE 4 to a more, well, periodical release cycle, as several users have requested for in the past, either like the different distro.
We didn't do this in the past. Well, we did. Here's the catch. KDE 3 point whatever was quite a stable platform, so we slipped our release schedule once by 1 week due to a showstopper bug. So we did have a stable, some sort of time-based release cycle, although it was feature-based. Martin's paper, which is quite extensively talking about how free software projects should release their software, tells and proves that it is the right way to do time-based releases. The catch for KDE 4 is that it's not possible in this case, because it's a totally disruptive release. So this is also not really covered by Martin Michelmeier's thesis. Thanks. So will we switch to time-based releases? Of course, we don't know. We now have a team of people who are working on release cycles and issues around that in place, but they're mainly sorting out details about how KDE 4 will be released. In my opinion, we could do that if KDE 4 turns out to be stable enough so that we basically could at any point say, okay, we'll make a snapshot in about a week, so please try to not, you know, screw up our code base. And then we will release that as the next version. This is actually quite likely because the really disruptive things are in place, and so yeah, it might be possible. We're not talking about that yet, because obviously let's first get KDE 4 out of the door, then think about time-based release cycles. 4.1 will pretty closely follow up 4.0, so time frame for talking about that is probably spring next year. Danimo had something to add.
You're running out of power. Just.
I'm also running out of time, so
okay.
Let's see who's first. Are there any more questions? Please. We've actually had a Summer of Code student working on Xenorama integration in KWin, and yeah, if it doesn't work for you, then it's a bug, which we want to fix. I might add that. So yes, any more questions? Sorry. As soon as the door opens, please speak up. Second question, will there be binary packages not provided by us? We do sources. Third parties do binaries. First question, most likely where someone cares about having a certain application to run on various desktops. There's a strong business case for running KMail on Windows and Mac, so you get homogeneous or more homogeneous environments where you basically mixing up operating systems. And then there are quite some people who want to run MROC on Windows. So yeah, as free software works, whenever someone cares, it will happen. And seems to be the case that there are enough people interested in getting this to run. Last short question. So if you have a long question, then catch me later. Okay? That's it? Well, thank you very much.
Ich hätte mal eine Frage, ist jetzt nicht unbedingt...